This is the reading for this morning from the book of Acts, Acts chapter 1, verse 8. But you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. It's God's word for his church this morning. We've been talking, called together to grow and go these last couple of weeks. This kind of sense of vision, I guess, for us as a community heading into the next little while. And this morning we're wanting to talk about the and go part of that specifically and really narrowing in on what it means for us as a community to be sent. What does that look like? You know, those words that we just read, they're Jesus speaking. His last words, actually, a month and a half back before the cross and the resurrection and all that, he'd been sitting around a meal with his friends, his followers, his disciples, and things have kind of got a little bit serious in there. He tells them that soon the same Spirit of God that has kind of filled him and empowered him for what he has been doing is going to fall on them as well, that it's not just going to come and be with them, but it's going to be in them too, and it will enable them to live as God has called them to be people who are eyewitnesses, to be people who tell the truth out of what has happened in their experience of life with Jesus and the time that they've shared together, and then who live into this new reality that he's been setting into motion. And so now, on the other side of that, come these important words of commission again, these last words. You will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes on you, he says, and you will be my witnesses in Jerusalem and in all Judea and Samaria and to the ends of the earth. Fast forward a few more days, it's the time of Pentecost. It's a harvest festival. Thousands of people are gathered into Jerusalem from across the ancient world for this, and these followers of Jesus are together when suddenly the room is filled with wind and fire, these kind of Old Testament symbols of the presence of God. And suddenly these first believers start finding themselves speaking in the languages of the nations that have crowded into the city. Peter, a disciple who up until that point had kind of been known primarily for his failure and lack of courage, he stands up in the city where Jesus had just been executed and he preaches the sermon of his life. And on that day, Acts says that 3,000 people are added to the church. And so with the falling of the Spirit on that Pentecost Sunday, the prophetic contents page of the book of Acts, which is really what we've just read, Acts 1:8, it begins to be fulfilled. The story of Jesus is now in Jerusalem. Soon it'll be in Samaria, the place which was thought to be outside of God's people, in Acts 8, and then finally to Rome, the heart of human power and opposition from God, the very ends of the earth, really, by the ends of the book. That's kind of how it plays out. We were talking last week about the church as a literal movement. And in Acts, we kind of see this explosive progression of that new community, always looking outward with a view to another horizon. Person by person, community by community, town by town, city by city, nation by nation, until the whispers of that same Spirit come across the water to Aotearoa, New Zealand, and the story of Jesus lands here in the founding of our nation. And so here we are this morning. We are the inheritors of the same relentless outward-facing expansion of the kingdom of God. The promise of that same Spirit to fill us is here for us this morning as well. And God is wanting to do something in us that enables us to be the people he needs us to be to send us out into the world. And so when we're talking about going, what does going look like? So much of it, really, I think it comes down to that main theme of Jesus' teaching and his ministry in the Gospels. He talks about this thing called the kingdom of heaven or the kingdom of God. He talks about a king of the kingdom, this person who's filled with grace and love, who calls people back to life with him. The emphasis over and over again of this kingdom kind of conversation is that there is an alternate reality to be lived into, that there's a reality that we were made for that we're not living for right now, and that there's a new world order under God and in relationship with him there on the horizon somewhere. And so Jesus is speaking into this. In the pinnacle of his public teaching in the Sermon on the Mount, he talks about the way in which this kingdom of God, it rearranges the social and the political orders of our world. And he encourages his followers there to kind of live into and to pray for that eventual time when the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God comes in all of its fullness and will be on earth as it is in heaven. But at the same time, Jesus, he's not just kind of talking about this stuff. Jesus is living it as well. You know, his literal presence is amongst those thought to be on the outskirts of the culture, thought to be untouchable, thought to be outside of the love of God. His acts of mercy and healing, he shows up in these spaces. And all of this is speaking to the inevitability of this reality. He shows what the kingdom looks like through his presence. He lives it out. And then in that final decisive act, which we've kind of gathered around again this morning at the communion table, you know, Jesus, he takes all of the ugliness and the mess of our world, the full weight of evil, all of the work that we've done to shape a life apart from God, what the Bible calls sin, and he dies with it. He's crucified by us on a cross, and then he rises to life to show that in this new reality, even death doesn't have a hold for those who will find their lives in him. In other words, Jesus announces that the kingdom is coming, and then he kind of embodies the fact that the kingdom is already here. And so to go and be witnesses then is in the empowerment of the Spirit to go and live out of this Jesus story in our world. The story of God's love for us, a story of new hope and new life. Evangelism is one of the words that we use to describe that, which comes from the Greek word, which is also translated as gospel or good news. And one of the things, the first things that I think we think about when we talk about evangelism, often we think about the verbal kind of proclamation of stuff, like the spoken word. Over time, as culture has shifted, though, it's kind of been a bit of a pendulum swing away from that in some areas of the church, more to kind of majoring on acts of justice and mercy that were kind of consistent with the kingdom that Jesus lived. It's sort of that preach the gospel at all times and if necessary, use words kind of mentality. But I guess just in laying the groundwork for this morning, we need to say that if we're being faithful to Scripture, if we're being faithful to the ministry of Jesus and the story of the church in Acts, then both of these things go hand in hand. That the good news of Jesus is spoken, that there's a verbal aspect to that, and then the kingdom is enacted. It's lived out. There's a consistency between word and deed in all of this, which is essential in what it means to be a sent people. Just as it was for Jesus, so too for the church in Acts, and so too this morning for us as well. I really love the way, actually, that our Anglican sisters and brothers kind of frame this up in what they call their five marks of mission. This has been adopted by the Anglican Church worldwide, and they say it like this, that the mission of the church is the mission of Christ, to proclaim the good news of the kingdom, to teach and to baptize and nurture new believers, to respond to human need by loving service, to transform unjust structures of society, to challenge violence of every kind and to pursue peace and reconciliation, and to strive to safeguard the integrity of creation and sustain and renew the life of the earth. I mean, this is a comprehensive picture, right? This is a big picture gospel. This is word and deed together. This is the big story of God's work in the world put into practice by a community who gather around him. Part of our maturing, I guess, over the last couple of decades has been the realization that, you know, the sending is the calling of the whole community. It's not just the calling of a special few. God does call people to specific works. But mission, when we talk about it, it's not just something that happens when we give someone the title missionary and they head off overseas. It turns out, in fact, that all of us are called to be missionaries. It happens right here in our everyday lives as we learn to embrace them as a lived expression of our faith. We are all sent. The same Spirit is here sending each of us out into the world as well. And so when we're talking about going together at CB, we're very deliberately, I guess, wanting to put language around the idea that CB isn't just a place to come along for kind of a passive spiritual engagement once a week on a Sunday morning. That this isn't what we are called to as a church community. Rather, as kind of a natural follow-on of being called together, which we talked about a couple of weeks back, of drawing closer together as the body of Christ, and then growing together as we build up the body, as we were talking about last week. We're recognizing that being sent is essential to being the church. And we want to be a place where people come to understand the ways in which God has uniquely gifted them for mission and for ministry. We want to be a place that sends our community out into the world to serve and love alongside God. And we do this with the confidence that in doing so, God is already out there ahead of us in it. You know, because I think sometimes we default too easily to this idea that this physical location, this building, is kind of like this light that's shining in the darkness, you know. And people just need to be drawn into this. And yes, if we are being sent, then this place will change. This place will grow. This community will be added to. But that often used correction, I think, is also true, that it's not so much the church of God that has a mission in the world, but the God of mission who has a church in the world. Did you hear that? Just as God has always been at work drawing people to himself, so too he is at work drawing people to himself out there right now, independent of us. You know, he is at work in hearts and minds sovereignly all over the place. You know, from the known and the comfortable places, the Jerusalems amongst the people different from us, the Samarias of our community and our world right now, and even to those places we can't even imagine because they're beyond our imaginations, the very ends of the earth, there he is. He calls us. He sends us and leaves us to go. You know, the question is this morning, are our hearts and our imaginations open to what he's wanting to do out there? Last year, I got Samuel Dobson, who's here again for two services in a row, Samuel Dobson. Asked Samuel Dobson if he could help me visualize our church phone directory, and he came up with this. If you zoom in a lot closer, you see there's a lot more little dots on there, and this is really like apologies, it's not closer, but it's kind of the best way you can see it. This is what our church looks like and around the region of Palmerston North. This is where our church really is in Palmerston North, should I say, because this is where our buildings are right now, right? This is where we come together once a week. But it turns out that, you know, significant portions of us spend most of our time kind of in the Highbury, Awapuni sort of area. There's a big cluster in Hokafitu. There's another decent-sized cluster up in Calvin Grove. Apologies for those of you who don't fit into those areas. You're special as well. I guess, you know, just thinking about that and considering what our church looks like. I was thinking about 200 Church Street next door, actually. And, you know, we bought this property over here with the strong conviction that God was going to use it in our future for ministry and for mission. And at the time, you know, those conversations were quite literal, I think. You know, we were kind of talking about what are we going to physically do in this location to be on mission, you know, in this community, in this city. And there was a couple of ideas that kind of got put forward for that, but it didn't feel like there was a strong kind of sense of clarity or sort of this is it, you know, that we shared together as a community from God. And so it's been awesome in the interim to have Legacy over there, in that space, to have the toy library over there, to have a gym and all the rest of it, you know, over there, and being able to help people out with that. But I guess looking at this map, it kind of had me wondering, what if one of our barriers in terms of our imagination for local mission, particularly when it came to 200 Church Street, is that most of us don't actually really live local to 200 Church Street. You know, most of us are not necessarily personally invested in this part of Palmerston North. You know, we come down here for church on a Sunday. We might do a mission to the warehouse from time to time, that sort of thing. But, you know, I guess some of the questions that I have when I think about it in this way, you know, what if the potential resource to ministry and mission is actually our ownership of the buildings? And what if the the site for ministry and mission is actually right where we live? What if it's where we've been personally investing our lives right now? You know, what if part of the shift for us as a church in this next season is to stop asking the questions like, how are we going to attract people to what we're doing over here? And instead start asking the questions like, what is God up to in our neighborhoods? You know, what are the ways that we need to shift in order to engage the people in our community who no longer consider the church a part of their lives anymore? Now, what would it look like, for example, for that special part of our body who live up in Calvin Grove? Show of hands, Calvin Grove people. Yeah. I mean, what would it look like for you this morning to get together and begin to prayerfully explore ministry and mission in your community? Now, the first step, of course, is that God is already there and he's already doing stuff. He's already at work. So we've got to start walking the streets. We've got to start, you know, heading down to Countdown with intent, doing the school run with intent. You know, God, give me open eyes, give me an open heart to see what worked, to hear your gentle whispers. And we've got to start meeting with others in the community, both from the church and outside of it. We've got to start figuring out where perhaps the sites of celebration or the sites of lament are within the community. And then we begin asking ourselves as followers of Jesus, where might we be able to show up in some of that? And that doesn't necessarily mean starting anything. It means looking for what God is already doing and just deciding to be present with that. We don't need to reinvent the wheel. You know, what would it look like for the good folks of Awapuni to do the same? Or the Hokafiru family, you know? What is the heartbeat of the streets where we live? What's the heartbeat of the spaces and places where we've chosen to put down our roots? You know, the schools or the kindies that we've moved close to or attend, the businesses we're a part of, the social services in operation, the neighbors who've moved into the neighborhood. Where are those spaces for kingdom-minded followers of Jesus to show up? Where are they? Where can we go to live the gospel, the good news of Jesus into all of that? I mean, now, that's just an idea. I mean, I'm not kind of posing anything this morning. We're not going to have a formal church meeting after this and vote on some of that kind of stuff. But, you know, just an idea. You know, but it's one of, like, thousands that have been brewing in the life of this community, you know. It's the stuff that saw Te Aroha Noa, you know, be planted back at, you know, late 80s in Highbury. I mean, who would have foreseen that it would have grown into what it is today? And still with a huge segment of our church community engaged in it each week. It's what propelled the Agapanthus Trust, again, to birth out of here, to start looking at buying properties, to give spaces for refugees coming into Palmerston North. Really looking forward to hearing from Margie, actually, next week. We're going to be hearing from the Agapanthus Trust in our service. It's people like Elsa and Hardy who've got hearts for reaching the Muslim community, which is growing in Palmy, and they want to equip us to be able to do the same. They're starting another Friendship First course after Easter. That's going to be advertised in the next couple of weeks. Watch out for it. You know, it's what sends a solid percentage of our church off into our schools each week to engage through things like Launchpad or mentoring relationships or involvement in chaplaincy. It's what ignited hearts within a group in the life of this congregation to see our role as kaitiaki or caretakers of creation as being an essential part of this gospel story. And so we started on a zero waste kind of journey, and in the process we influenced the entire culture of the Baptist Union. It's what propels members of our congregation out into opening their hearts and their homes for respite or foster care during the week. It sends us into rest homes through the month amongst the tired and lonely. That ignites imaginations and actions around reconciliation and peace in the story of Aotearoa. You know, it's the heart behind mainly music. You know, one of the biggest programs that we host regularly that invites non-Christian families into our church. And yes, on top of all of that, it's very much the calling of those that we have sent and will send in overseas mission. From this physical location to the communities in which we live, and to the very ends of the earth. You know, there are so many ways that the Spirit is at work right now in our community, enabling us to be witnesses. And again, and with this I will close. Again, you need to hear it this morning. The Spirit is at work. The Spirit is at work. You know, Acts 1:8, it's not you might receive power when the Holy Spirit falls. It's you will receive power when the Holy Spirit falls. Hey. And sure, there's some real special stuff going on in those first few pages of the book of Acts. There's some stuff going on there that just can't ever be repeated. The church can only ever be born once, you know? But still, the same Spirit is here with us. Still, the same Spirit is here at work in us and through us. It's the same Spirit filling us again this morning for ministry and for mission. And, you know, I think of some of those first ever disciples. I think of people like Peter, who denied that he ever known Jesus, had, you know, turned around and walked away when things got tough, and yet there he is in Acts, right at the thick of it. He's up on a box and he's preaching to 3,000 people in that space. He's empowered by God for the gospel. You know, I wonder this morning, and this is going to sound like a familiar question, are you open to the idea that God is wanting to do more than you, through you this morning than what you've settled for? Are you open to the idea that God has gifted you for things that you are yet to realize? Are you open to the idea that God might be wanting to use you to expand his church in the world? You know, are you open to the idea that when this service finishes this morning, you're not just going to go home, you will be sent home? You will be sent home. Not in this way, God, but God will send you. He will send you. He will commission you for ministry and mission right where you live. You know, to go and live to enact the kingdom of God in our city and in our world, in your streets, in your school, in your university, in your workplace, in your retirement community, in all of those spaces. God, he has you right where he needs you right now. And the Spirit is here this morning wanting to expand our imaginations. And the team's going to come and lead us in a couple of songs to close. But as we do this morning, as we sing, as we reflect in this space, I just want to ask, would you be open to the Spirit? Would you be open to the Spirit stirring within you? Maybe whispering things that you haven't heard before. Names and places and stuff that, you know, just kind of seems to be popping in, you know. Maybe it's stuff that's really familiar and you've never seen it in this light before. Maybe God needs to expand your imagination about what's possible right where you are. Church, we are a community that are called together to grow and to go. We are a sent community. Being sent is essential to what it means to be the church. So can I ask you to stand with me? And Holy Spirit, present here with us. Your promised presence here with us right now. We just want to ask that you would be met right now in this space with open hearts, with open minds. Holy Spirit, would you fall on us, your community, again this morning? Fill us again with your imagination for your greatest work in the world, your act of redemption of all creation, your kingdom come, your will be done here on earth as it is in heaven. Father, fill our hearts with fire. Speak to us again. And we ask these things in the mighty name of Jesus. Amen.